we found where I had lived before I was collected. Two shelter modules joined into an L, another L of wire mesh completing a weedy cloister that housed one dead mob and two dead fetches, the oldest of which I had personally helped set up on blocks. The gate was decorated with four different signs of varying ages promising to kill anyone who entered, which to me seemed much less intimidating than a single sign would have. A baby tree about as long as my forearm had sprouted from a clogged rain gutter. Its seed must have been carried there by wind or a bird. I wondered how long it would take to grow to a size where it would tear the gutter clean off. Inside, a loud moving picture was showing on a spiele, so we had to do a lot of hallooing and gate-rattling before someone emerged. A woman of about 20. She'd have been a big girl to me when I'd been 8. I tried to remember the big girls' names. Leah? She moved away when those guys left, the woman explained, as if hooded men came to her door every day incanting the names of long-lost relations. She glanced back over her shoulder to watch a fiery explosion on the spiele. As the sound of the explosion died away, we could hear a man's voice demanding something. She explained to him what she was doing. He didn't quite follow her explanation, so she repeated the same words more loudly. "I infer that some kind of factional schism has taken place within your family while you were gone," Jezri said. I wanted to slug him, but when I looked at his face, I saw he wasn't trying to be clever. The woman turned to look at us again. I was peering at her through an aperture between two signs that were threatening to kill me, and I wasn't certain that she could see my face. "I used to be named Vit," I said. "The boy who went to the clock, I remember you. How's it going?" "Fine. How are you?" "Keeping it casual." "Your mama isn't here. She moved." "Far away?" She rolled her eyes, vexed that I had leaned on her to make such a judgment. "Farther than you can probably walk." The man inside yelled again. She was obliged to turn her back on us again and summarize her activities. "Apparently she does not subscribe to the dravicular iconography," Jezri said. "How do you figure?" "She said you went to the clock, voluntarily, not that you were taken by or abducted by the Avout." The woman turned to face us again. "I had an older sib named Cord," I said. I nodded at the oldest of the broken fetches. "Former owner of that. I helped put it there." The woman had complex opinions of Cord, which she let us know by causing several emotions to ripple across her face. She ended by exhaling sharply, dropping her shoulders, setting her chin, and putting on a smile that I guessed was meant to be obviously fake. "Cord works all the time on stuff." "What kind of stuff?" This question was even more exasperating to her than my earlier "far away." She looked pointedly at the moving picture. "Where should I look?" I tried. She shrugged. "You passed it on the way, probably." And she mentioned a place that we had, in fact, passed, shortly after leaving the Decade Gate. Then she took a step back inside because the man in there was demanding an account of her recent doings. "Keep it casual," she said, and waved, and disappeared from our view. "Now I really want to meet Cord," Jezri said. "Me too. Let's get out of here," I said, and turned my back on the place, probably for the last time, as I didn't imagine I'd come back at next Appert. Perhaps when I was 78 years old. Reforestation was a surprisingly quick process. "What's a sib? Why do you use that word?" "In some families, it's not entirely clear how people are related." We walked faster and talked less, and got back across the bridge in very little time. Since the place where Cord worked was so close to the consent, we first went up into the Burger neighborhood and found Jezri's house.